Time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by our friends at Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan from the aforementioned Bangor Wine and Cheese right here with us in studio. Good day, sir.
Hello. It's funny watching you juggle.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're doing very well. It's all right.
Yeah, he's a natural.
Yeah,
I think.
For you folks who don't know, he's manning the board today. I'm sure he's complained about that at least once or twice already.
Not a beep.
I actually enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It changes you up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in the old days, that was the only option that existed when I started in radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, we were also playing records on vinyl.
So. Yeah. No. My inauspicious start in radio was the same. Yeah. It was college radio. Yeah. It's like you do it. And here's your really awful time slot because you're a freshman. Have fun, Rook.
Kind of the same thing that happens with this show.
Well, that's fair. I think that's how it happens anywhere. Yeah. Seniority is seniority is seniority,
exactly.
No matter where you go.
And yet here we have Don dragging in, working into hour number 12 today.
Yeah, but he has cake.
Yeah.
Let him eat cake, to paraphrase famous dead person. Yes. So to all who have forgotten, and shame on you, we're talking about cooking with alcoholic beverages this fine month. And today, indeed, it is Cider Day. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about cider. And just before we came back in, Don was actually asking me, do you guys move a lot of cider? And yes, we do, indeed. Certainly now, as I was mentioning right as we came back, it has become a go-to option for those who have been deemed gluten intolerant or celiac, as most, indeed, some of the large commercially produced ciders do indeed have gluten. They have some additives, malt additives and stuff like that. But all these craft ciders that are coming out now, and there's just a gazillion of them, a new one every day, are gluten-free, and they're as varied as the world of beer, as the world of mead, as the world of wine. Super, super interesting. So I wanted to take people back because, of course, here in America, we might not be as familiar with cider as an everyday beverage of the alcoholic variety. And why is that? Well, if any of you have ever ventured over to Great Britain specifically, which is a hotbed of cider consumption, but also Normandy, France, or other places in Europe, if you ask for cider, you're going to get booze because they don't know cider as a non-alcoholic beverage. They don't know it as, you take the kids out to the local cider mill and get them some donuts and get some fresh pressed cider, and Junior drinks too much of it and spends the rest of the day on the... We've all been there, folks, believe me. But that is simply that our definition of cider is unfiltered apple juice. And apple juice, of course, is non-alcoholic juice. And if it's not screwed with, not pasteurized, not played with in any way, it will start to ferment because of the wild yeasts. There's sugars in the juice. There's wild yeast in the atmosphere. And just like grape juice or anything else, it'll start to ferment and you will have hard cider. Now, my first experience with hard cider was an inauspicious one as well. My friend Micah, who, as far as I know, is still alive, decided to test his mortality by freshman year of boarding school, fermenting some cider in his dorm room.
Oh, in the room.
Now, folks, I know that there's a lot of hobbyists out there, home brewers, home cider makers as such. I just want to remind everybody out there that the importance of sanitization and things like that, because all sorts of funky things can grow in an environment like that. So yeah. I would advise any of you, especially those of you high school age who are thinking about this is a good way to get drunk, it's a bad way to get drunk. Micah spent, I believe, the better part of a week in the hospital after that little experiment. But getting back to the point, the stuff we have here in America that we call cider is non-alcoholic in general, unless, of course, it says it's alcoholic because our government requires that. But again, you go over to the UK, and they have hard cider. The word cider, the English word cider, comes from the Jewish, I'm going to mispronounce this, forgive me, my Yiddish is terrible, but shikar, which means alcoholic beverage, and it was so ubiquitous that that was where they got the term of cider. My old mentor from Burgundy would love this because his firm idea is that the French were responsible for everything great in the world. But indeed, cider came to England along with the Norman invasions. The Normans brought it in 1066, along with a lot of French surnames. But they brought the concept of cider because they were from Normandy. And if you've ever been over to Normandy, it's the only part of France, really, that doesn't specialize in wine or nothing. It really specializes in ciders and hard ciders, and also the wonderful apple brandy called Calvados, if you've ever had that. So they brought that over, and it really, really caught on, not only with commoners, but with the wealthy and the elites as well. And it was just hugely popular, and swaths of southern England were planted to not only apple orchards, but orchards specifically designed with the varietals of apples to make hard cider. It was not to consume the apples. It was because they liked them some buzz. And that was great. And then, of course, the pilgrims actually were some of the first people to bring Europeanism, but they brought cider to America. So it was here right from the beginning, and they may have been Puritan, but boy, they still liked them some hard cider. And eventually there was actually a blight in the 18th century that wiped out a lot of the apple orchards in England, and the elites of England started to turn towards more wine consumption, which is really the time that the English started to think that they knew everything about wine, where they created the master of wine and the court of master sommeliers. That all happened around that time. The commoners still drank cider when they could get it, and that sort of became the commoner's drink. It's around the same time that in America, because we had so many apples, thanks to propagators like Johnny Appleseed and others, that we started to not use European items like brandy, wine in cooking, which leads me to what we're doing today, enjoying some lovely cake. Mm. But they started to use the cider that they had in cooking as well for their moisture and the flavor and all that sort of stuff. Because it was local, it was cheaper. It was, you know, they had it. And if your cider started to skunk, well, you still cook it and you cook out the bad stuff anyway. And then it obviously fell into disfavor in America, along with everything else, because of Prohibition, when all alcohol was bad, even though we drank a lot of it. But it, as we talked about last week, it really destroyed our knowledge, our working knowledge of cider. And that also, because of sort of the intolerance movement and the sort of Puritan strain, we started to call unfiltered apple juice cider. And that was cool. It was cool for the whole dang family. And that was nice, but obviously there's been a huge resurgence now with the craft phenomenon. Obviously, you had the big woodchucks and all that of the world, but now you really, as I was saying, have some amazing craft ciders of all kinds. Some are barrel-aged, some are fresh, some are carbonated, some are not. Some are meant to drink at room temperature, some are meant to be chilled. So no matter what you folks like out there, I'll bet there's a cider for you. There's ciders that are fairly vinous. There are ciders that are like a nice pale ale. There's ciders that are hopped, for gosh sake. So come on out and check them out, because I think you're going to find something, especially, again, if you've got some problems with the old gluten, which some people do, or you just want to try something new and refreshing, especially as we're getting into the warmer months. The what we're going to drink and eat today in different ways. This is Citizen Cider. Citizen Cider is out of Burlington, Vermont, and their entire line is named after citizens of their community. This one is called the Dirty Mayor. This is a non-traditional, officially, ginger and lemon cider. It is absolutely delicious. It is nice, crispy. It's got that hint of ginger, which is big, big in my book. I love ginger. It's refreshing. It's beautiful. And then we've cooked it today into this wonderful cake. And again, we'll put up the recipe for this. This is made with 2/3 of a cup of cider, so you can finish the rest on yourself.
Oh, it's so good.
And, it is working and just, in the cake.
And and stuff you have at home. It's really, really brilliant. No, it's all-purpose flour. It's baking powder. It's not hard to make, even though I slightly messed up as I was making it and my wife took over. But that's cool, because the end result is fabulous.
I've been excited for this since Christine posted the picture on social media last night.
it's a wonderful aroma space as well when it's cooking, so do check stuff like that out. And before we run out of time, I want to mention next week we're going to be talking about cooking with mead, and I'll talk a little bit about mead and how that kind of relates to your life, if it doesn't already. And also, I want to remind people on the 28th of this month from 4 to 6, because it's a Friday, so we figure we'll catch people a little earlier if they're heading out of town. We're going to have a tasting with Perlage, which is a wonderful Italian winery. We tried their Sangiovese 2 weeks ago during the Cooking with Wine segment. They have a Pinot Grigio. They have a couple of fabulous Proseccos, including some single vineyard stuff that is dynamite. Can't miss. So, again, the 28th is a Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. And then next month, we're going to be talking about appellations and why terroir matters. And so that's always an exciting one for me as well. Telling people that Chablis is, in fact, not pronounced Chablis and that it's a place that grows Chardonnay in France. Stuff like that. It's always good. But for now, let us eat, let us drink. Have a great week, everybody, and try some cider.
Yeah, thank you, William the Conqueror, for this. Appreciate that.
You did so much. The Magna Carta and hard cider.
There you go.
What a guy.
Thank you, Eric.